Oh, now everybody shuts up.
Spin the copter!
Well, since I was afraid of something stupid.
That's being on topic. I'm sure the Secret Service paid well for it.
We're going to take up a collection.
That's true. They stiffed somebody $47 on spinning the copter.
We're going to take up a collection and send Jay a decent mic.
Yes, please.
It won't work. It won't work.
Are you in the basement?
No, I am 5 feet from my computer. I was on my iPhone. They complained about it sucking. I went on one mic. It sucks no matter what it is.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it sounds like shit.
Jay, you don't sound like shit in real life.
Oh.
No, that'd be funny if that's how he really sounded. the mic's actually perfect.
Oh, what was that? Was that Woody Allen deconstructing Harry, where it was Robin Williams and he was out of focus?
Yeah, I'm right. Not a big
pedophile fan.
No,
neither am I. Well, he's not pedophile. He's just trying to breed his own wives.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice. Let's start things off.
Good evening, everyone.
And now it's time for the Squirrel Report, Friday, April 27th.
We're so highfalutin.
It cracks me up every time.
We have 25 listeners every week. Woo!
If you plug the microphone jack into the headphone and the headphone jack into the microphone, nothing happens.
You sound better.
Hey, it sounds much better. What'd you do?
Hey, this is the plug-in. This is like the very first microphone I got.
Oh, well, everybody told me it sucked. It sounds terrific.
Definitely stick with that. It sounds great.
Well, I will. But it means you guys are going to have to listen to me pee. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well.
Or you could like put it down and go away.
Or I could use that little mute feature too. Yeah, but you know, that would be the easy way.
Yeah, that would do it.
Evacuate pee hole.
Well, I think
it's better than occupy pee hole.
Tonight is great. tonight is a very special night.
Is it?
Yes, it's the first time all four of us have been on the Squirrel Report together at the same time.
Oh, since like it officially started.
Since, you know, well, we're on like episode 4 or 5 right.
It's 6
right now. Okay.
Episode 6.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Shaw.
Well, it's the first time we've all been together.
Sorry.
And I am glad to have you.
Yeah.
I am too. I'm sick of fucking traveling.
I'm high five, Alan.
Right. So how has everybody been?
Busy.
Great.
Yeah.
Crappy.
Crappy. Busy. Weird, well, like Weird and Jay are kind of like our, you guys have been our kind of traveling hosts lately.
Yeah, I'm heading up to Maine tomorrow.
Again?
Yeah, I got a week.
Maine that you like so much.
I got a week, well, this is a different part of Maine. I'm going up to Mount Desert Island to take a week-long surgical course.
Oh, sweet.
I'm going to be cutting the balls off mice.
Mount Desert Island is one of our customers.
Sorry. I love it. Excellent.
Are you gonna save them and make? I guess what would be the mouse ball?
Small scrappy nibbles.
I was gonna say what would be the mouse ball equivalent of?
They're scrappy niblets.
You could make like necklaces, like string them like beads and like, let them dry out.
Wow.
When you dry them out, I mean they'd be like peppercorns.
Right? They'd be perfect little beads. Oh, weird. Please.
Oh no.
Please?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the lab has a very strict policy about such things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted some rat ball necklace.
A necklace of rat balls. Probably.
Yeah, that probably falls under a biohazard thing. Or something.
Yeah. No, all that stuff needs to go into burn boxes. Sorry, kids.
Oh, well.
Oh,
poop.
They never let you have any fun.
Breed is always so
I never
deprived.
Do. No, I never get any bennies from being on the Squirrel Report.
We could, you know, I got bolt cutters. We could grab hobos and accomplish the same.
Well, Brita, if you want Benny's, I'm sure. I know Jay's got Uncle Gino can hook you up with some Benzedrine.
or roofies. We can get you roofies.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait.
The hell is our topic tonight?
Hooker gate.
Oh, yeah, the hooker
hookers
thing.
And blow.
Yeah.
Hookers and blow.
Hookers and blow.
Oh, yeah, it's Colombian hookers.
Yeah. Exactly.
It comes complimentary.
Yeah, that's included in the price.
I think the hookers come coated in blow.
The hookers are made out of blow.
They might.
Coke hookers. No, wait.
Well, you know what? Before we get into everything, I don't know if anybody's listening to the show this evening, but
I think one or two people are.
Well, whatever. If they are, I want you all to know that the Squirrel Report has a new chat feature.
That's right, it does.
On our blog, if you go to thesquirrelreport.com, which is not thesquirrelreport.com, it's sqrpt.com.
Yes.
Because Alan thought he needed to be clever. And
hey, I'm a damn
sign in.
Internet rock star. I found a useful 5-character word that wasn't taken yet in the domain registry system. So
how do I sign in? I have to sign in.
You can sign in through Facebook now,
yep.
Which I think is really cool because you can see everybody's pictures.
No way.
And, I'm not sure what else, but I like it. And it's working a lot better than last week. Which
log in with Facebook. Okay.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
There you are.
How many people are there? 15 people?
I know. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's just in chat.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell do you participate? Oh, well, there we go. God, I go away for 2 weeks and everything changes. I don't like change.
Yeah. Jay, we missed you.
We have 22 people listening live right now.
Wow. Excellent. We have 16.
So anyway, if anybody wants to join in the chat, it is on the sqrpt.com, and there's a link to the chat, and you can sign in and join us live and listen and chat with us, and there's a bunch of people you can
live
chat with.
Live nude squirrel report.
Oh, there's 18 people
that's
online.
Right.
It's excellent.
What? Live nude squirrels doing blow.
Ooh.
Right.
Hey.
I'll have
it makes little stuff. Clicky noises.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. You can turn that off.
Only if you're have sound on.
Yeah, I'm
Jay.
Looking at that going, bye.
Yeah.
So about the hookers and blow. And Obama and his hookers and blow.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were tethered to Michelle DeBeast.
Right.
Colombian hookers are starting looking pretty damn good.
It seems
Michelle DeBeast.
Michelle DeBeast. That's a good one.
Thank you.
I heard that one before.
You know, there was a thing that came out this week where she, one of her biggest fantasies was to walk out the front door of the White House and
come
keep
January,
on walking.
We
and
happy
I'm like,
to
hey,
help.
Honey, take him with you. And, yeah. And just
all of, that's all of our fantasy.
God will, January 21st, you will be escorted out of there under armed guard, bitch.
Yeah. You know, the thing that bothers me about it is that the White House has so many luxuries.
Not including
all the taxpayer-funded vacations that she has taken.
Yeah, life is so hard when you're the queen.
Life is so hard for her. I just don't think this woman would be happy with anything.
No.
She's made
a career for herself being miserable.
That's true.
Well, for the first time in her life, she's proud to be an American.
But not anymore.
Not anymore, because she's unhappy in the White House, damn it.
Poor baby. She hasn't jetted off to Spain in the past week.
Right.
Again, I would much rather have a president who likes to take a lot of vacations and relax
and
do a lot of beer summits than a president that wants to pass laws that preclude freedom.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And trust me, Jay, where's Deval Patrick right now?
Beats me.
Yeah.
The further away from Massachusetts, the better.
Yeah, yeah. He's nowhere near the state. He said he's not running for another term. So he's not at all pressured by the stresses of re-election. He has an open thing. He has all Democrats in the House and Senate. And what does he do? He goes off and goes on vacation all the time. And the lieutenant governor flips his car.
Yeah, Tim Murray. Well, cut little Tim some slack, okay? His feet slid. He slipped off the little blocks he uses to prop himself up, and he fell.
He is a tiny. I met him. He's a tiny, tiny,
he is.
Tiny man.
He makes Caleb look tall.
He looks so much bigger when he stands beside the governor. That's like Brita sized.
Hey now,
but he's a man.
Perfectly normal sized.
You're a travel wife.
She's a very tall hobbit.
What does that mean?
You're travel sized.
Oh, I'm travel sized.
She's a pocket Amazon.
Okay.
Pocket Amazon, huh?
Portable giant.
I like that. Thank you. I'm going
pocket
with that.
Amazon's pretty good, Jay.
Right? That one I can't take credit for. I'll take credit for Michelle DeBeast.
Yeah, I like that one, Michelle DeBeast. I just wanted to make one comment real quick before we got to our topic, since we're milling around a little bit here.
You have a topic? Mm-hmm. You kidding me?
The Oklahoma House passed an open carry measure.
Yeah, today. I saw that. No permit or anything required.
Yeah.
Go Oklahoma.
I just want to say that if the damn Okies get open carry before Texas does, I'm going to burn my TSA membership card and take pictures of it and just...
You should. You should. There's something wrong with Texas. I just don't... I don't know what the point
is. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. You should be embarrassed.
I am embarrassed. It's embarrassing. I
mean, whenever anybody from, you know, Yankee land imagines Texas, we all imagine the Texans swaggering around with your pistols on your hip. And, yeah.
I actually got into an argument with a family member who was saying that Texans walk around open carrying. Every Texan walks around open carrying, and I'm no, it's illegal in Texas. Yeah. And she started arguing with her, and my resignation is, you're right. I don't know anything that I'm talking about. It just moved on.
I'll be thinking of Alan when on June 5th, open carry day. When I, well, I'll have to go to New Hampshire, but.
Jay, it's perfectly illegal in
that's okay. I'll have to go to Oklahoma.
Yeah. I'm only 10 minutes from New Hampshire, though.
Yeah. I'm a long way from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I wish them luck, because if Oklahoma does it, then.
Alan, you can always come to Ohio and open carry.
That's true. I can.
Because it's allowed here. Anyway, yeah, you should write a letter or something, because I don't understand how you Texans stand it.
I don't know either.
Yeah,
it's a gross stereotype,
especially when it's 100 degrees in August. You know.
Yeah, and you have to worry about a cover shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nothing sticks out like a nice fleece jacket in August. The dumdy dumdy dum.
Yeah.
No, I'm not covering anything up, officer.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're already having requests for the call-in number, and so we should probably get to
the topic
for this evening.
That's right. We should.
It's Hooker a story game. That's been kind of evolving throughout the week, don't you think? Like it was kind of like a big deal on Monday, and now kind of more and more details have been leaking out.
Sorry.
Hooker Gate.
Leaking out.
Oh, come on, you guys.
Don't feed us a straight line. Like,
God, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Hooker leaking out.
Whatever. I'm just going to sit over here and you can...
If you have any strange discharges, please see your doctor immediately.
Clearly, I don't have enough beer for this
new
show.
Pump leaky hookers.
Well, it's funny because I may misremember slightly, but when this first came out, they were like, isolated incident, nothing to see here, move along. And then, you know, people started coming forward and going, oh man, that's nothing. That happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Every time they go anywhere, it's a, you know,
it's a giant hooker fest.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, I was saying this earlier today to someone, this is not new. You know, I was not surprised
when I heard about this. I wasn't at all surprised.
You know what's surprising is that they were stupid enough to stiff the hooker. And that was
stupid. But think about it. You know, every time, outside of every military base, outside of every naval base, it's hooker central. You know, wherever the Army goes, wherever the Navy goes, you know, there's hookers. That's just the way things are. And it's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. And, you know, these guys are, you know, Secret Service. They're all, you know, hopped up on testosterone and, you know, the only ones in the elite, you know, kick-ass Secret Service. And they're going to a foreign country where they can do anything they want to and nobody can do anything.
Best of the best of the best.
Yeah.
And, the best of the best of the best.
And,
you have no idea why you're here.
Prostitution's legal.
Right.
What is it? You know, I'd be shocked if it didn't happen.
Right. You know, Mike, okay. My feeling is that perhaps this might be a private sector versus public sector issue.
Are you saying we need to unionize the hookers?
No, no, no.
Are you saying triple canopies?
Maybe we need to. Maybe we need to subsidize the hookers.
Maybe we need to privatize the security.
No.
Yes, I'm thinking perhaps, you know, these guys that they have government jobs, they're not answerable to really anybody. They have a lot of power, a lot of, you know, it's like the TSA of security. And they
does that mean they have to pat down Michelle? they deserve hookers.
But well, there have been stories about Michelle and her Secret Service detail, but.
Well, they're partially responsible for making sure her unsightly bulges don't come out.
Spanx.
They still don't try hard enough to get her to, you know, get dressed in, you know, daylight.
You know, Michelle Obama was on the list of the most beautiful women in.
No, she was not. Thing. That was a lie.
I know.
Turns out she's not on the list anywhere. They just made it up.
Yeah, of course. You know.
But why wouldn't they? Positively no.
What I want to know is do they have a clown suicide bomber to blow up in front of her every day when she gets dressed?
Clown suicide bomber.
With a belt.
It looks like Dr. Roxo strapped on a C4 vest and stood in front of Michelle.
There's another good punk band name. Or clown suicide bomber. Right,
anyway, if any of our listeners have anything to add about the brigade, the number.
Anybody out there has ever experienced a leaky hooker, please call in. God.
Or if you would like to discuss who looks cooler in shades, mercenaries or the Secret Service.
Okay. The number is 214-530-0036. And
operators are standing by.
Yeah. Alan is standing by. Yeah.
Ah, I'd be Alan to it. Neener, neener.
Oh, poo.
Good job, Alan.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, I just read something on the news, news-ish, you know, one of those news blogs, that it was a woman named Paula Reed who blew the whistle on the sex scandal.
Yep.
The hookers and blow scandal. Apparently, she's the head of the service detail in Latin America, and she blew the whistle.
Well, if she's the head, then she's responsible for it.
Well, yeah.
Ain't that just like a bitch?
Oh, yeah.
She ruined the fun for everybody.
Oh, damn weird. It.
Killjoy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we got a call.
All takes a couple of hookers.
It's from area code 901.
901.
I don't know where that is.
Este 901.
Yeah. Well, let's see who it is.
Texarkana?
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Greetings, you're on the air.
This is Bonnie.
Oh, hey, Bonnie.
Bonnie! I know you're famous on the internet.
She really is.
Yeah, she's, on the internet.
She's so famous, she gets trolled.
Bonnie, it's like, it's old home week.
I know it is, isn't it?
Me and you, honey.
Again, she's picking on Alan.
What? Stop it.
Old home.
Alan, it's in the old home?
Oh, God.
I was going to say, did I miss that? When did Alan go in a nursing home? When did that happen?
Well, he did go to Shady Acres.
Ever since the TSA roughed him as a velocity bag.
Shady Pine. I love you. It's okay.
Go ahead. Just get it out of your system.
Yeah, okay.
How are y'all doing?
We're good. It's good to hear from you.
It's Friday night.
This is ridiculous. I haven't talked on a blog show in like...
Since our blog show?
I know. It's terrible.
I know.
It's awful. We need... Fail. I just wanted to like call in and say hi and just like, you know, be on the chat, like on the phone with you guys for a little bit because I miss you all.
Oh,
talk about hookers too.
Oh, hookers. Oh, my God. Speaking of hookers, Michelle Obama's wardrobe. Oh, my God. Can I just say? Oh, my God. Like, seriously, she looks like some of the women that walk the streets in Memphis, except her heels need to be higher. Like, they don't know how to dress. They think their ass is their best asset, you know, no pun intended. And
maybe it is.
It's just made a fail. Well, I'm sorry, Michelle Obama does not have a nice ass, and I'm tired of people talking about her upper arms because her upper arms are not awesome.
What are you talking about? She is perfectly built for gator wrestling.
Oh, God.
Oh, totally for gator wrestling, but not for sleeveless dresses. Bitch needs to put that shit up or wear some cardigans or something.
Well, Michelle Obama seems to be the queen of the wide belt. You know, she wears those wide belts really high, right under her boobs.
Oh, well, you know that's where the waist is.
To hide the booty section, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bless her heart. I think.
Bless her heart.
Did I say that right?
Yes, you said that
right. Bless her heart. You gotta really bottle
it. It's contextual. I think I got it right contextually.
Yeah, contextually, yes, you did use it right. Yeah. Bless her heart, she doesn't know how to dress.
Yes, bless her heart is usually an insult.
It will follow or precede an insult. That's how we do it down here in the South. Bless his heart, he's so retarded, he can find a way out of a paper bag.
You can get away with pretty much anything by putting bless her heart after it, can't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, she's got a leaky hooker, bless her.
Didn't you?
It's just like all due respect.
Yeah,
exactly. No, Jay heard me used quite a few times at a convention.
That's right. Pardon my
French. Bless their heart.
He's as dumb as a box of rocks, bless his heart.
Or in Maine, it's hell of a fella.
Hell of a fella.
Oh, I know, Jay. He's a hell of a fella, but he ain't worth a fuck.
That's why I'm not a hooker.
Are you sure about that? Probably a good career choice, Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. Hookers get paid. Yeah, that's right. Oh.
Hookers have sex.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? Jay and I have sex all the time.
Yeah, but you pay with rupee.
Righty or lefty? Fisty McCanderson? Yes. Is that her name? Okay. I love you guys. I promise. Right.
Thanks for calling, Bonnie. We got another call.
All right, no problem. You'll have a good one.
All right.
Okay, bye.
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 Ooh. I have a long history with Bonnie. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know.
What about Fisty McAnderson?
Not that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, call.
What about your shaving partner?
Another call.
Area code 270. Hello, caller.
Hello.
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 You're on the air.
Hey, what's your name?
I'm on the air. This is Sean.
Oh.
You remember me, right?
Yeah.
We do.
You're talking about hookers. Wow. I know a lot about hookers.
Thank
especially
goodness.
Leaky ones.
Thank goodness an expert called in.
Were you surprised when you heard about the Secret Service and the hookers?
Yes.
You were?
Because they're supposed to protect the president. So they're going to be killers. And if you can't kill a hooker so she shuts her mouth, what good are you? A four-year-old could choke a hooker to death, and these guys can't do it. It's disgraceful.
Shocking.
They should all be fired and hung and shot and made into hookers.
If they were hung, they wouldn't need hookers.
Well, that is true.
Oh, dear.
But, I mean, they're the cheapest way to kill a woman in most third world countries.
Correct.
Because you don't have to pay off the local. Never mind. I didn't say that.
Yeah, really, you're just doing Vice's job for them.
Beg pardon?
When you kill a hooker, you're really just doing Vice's job for them. They'll look the other way.
You know how long it takes to make a bitch drink Drano? Just saying.
It depends.
You know, this is really funny. On the day that I send an email saying, okay, we're going to do this for the show. And this is the I should have saved it for next week when we had a topic that wasn't hookers and blow. I sent any, just to let all of our listeners know, today, I sent an email to my co-hosts, all three of them at the same time, saying, okay, kinky. I'm taking charge, and this is the sort of show I would like. We're going to have a topics, and we're going to take callers, and there's not going to be that many shenanigans.
I don't remember you saying anything about shenanigans.
Yeah, I don't remember shenanigans either.
And then there were hookers and blow. And it all just fell apart.
It just went straight to hell after that.
I love you guys, really. But, yeah. Okay, continue. Go ahead.
I believe we've been chastised, Gemma.
I don't even know where to go anymore with
all
this.
All right, so a more serious question would be...
Are there serious questions left?
No, yes. Is it bad for the Secret Service to be banging the crap out of hookers?
You think?
Does this constitute a security risk?
Yes.
Or yeah. if it's on their own time and it's legal in Colombia, is it all right for them to bang the bejesus out of hookers?
It's a security risk if they don't disclose it. You know,
it's a giant security risk. Period.
Well, if you've ever been up for a security clearance, the one thing it's like they don't care what you've done as long as you say what you've done within reason. You know what they're trying to find. It's not that they want to know everything about you because they don't care. You know, they will find something that they don't approve of. What they're looking for are things that you will be compromised over. Like if you have some sort of secret vice or something that you don't want people, that can be used as leverage against you to disclose what you know.
Paying for hookers?
Right. So if they were upfront about if it was public, it's like, hey, I'm going to go get some hookers, you know,
right.
and everybody knew about it, then it wouldn't necessarily be a security problem. It still might be one, but it wouldn't necessarily be one. The problem is when it's a secret. And although they're the Secret Service, when people have secrets, they're automatically security risks because, you know, anytime somebody has a dirty little secret like that, that they don't want other people to know, then if somebody finds that out, they have a leverage over them and they can get them to do things and say things and reveal things and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff like that.
Right.
How many of those agents were married and wouldn't want their wives to find out they were visiting?
Yeah, hookers? Exactly.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, or anything, girlfriends, any reason whatsoever.
Sure.
You wouldn't want that getting out. And now, you know, guess what? There's pictures of you cavorting with hookers and, hey, tell us where the motorcade's going to be
exactly.
or this gets emailed to your wife.
Right. All of a sudden,
I mean, it's shows such an egregious lack of basic sense to be just blatant about it like that and not slipping them in the back door like you know, like John Kennedy used to do. Alan and I.
Don't slipping it in the back door. I heard he liked that.
Oh, you know? Come on. Okay,
again, with Kennedy, or if you want to go forward with Clinton, the all statement was, you know, with Kennedy, what if the Russians had found out about it first?
Oh, they knew about it anyway.
Or maybe they did.
Well, the question has been brought up that were these hookers in Colombia actually Colombian hookers, or perhaps were they Russian spies?
Yeah, that's another good problem. How do you know? You don't know.
How do you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, plain and simple.
You got to cut them in half and count the rings.
Yeah. Also, another thing is, Mike and I were talking about this, and he is convinced that this is a symptom of the lack of leadership in this administration.
You know, I've seen that. And
I disagree.
Yeah.
I tend to think that this has happened throughout the history of the Secret Service.
As long as there have been men and women, really.
I'm sure it has. This is not an Obama problem.
Right.
I mean, these are men who are you know,
they're away from home for months and months at a time.
Right.
And it's a super high stress job.
Yep.
And
right.
Anytime you get in a situation like that, they're looking for some sort of stress relief.
Right.
And who hadn't heard the whole, you know, 500 miles away, it's not, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's all kinds of.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, throughout history, there have been camp followers, you know, following the troops they went. So it's a new thing. However, it's kind of a.
Fuck.
Well, it doesn't excuse it. I mean, it's like the old, you know, it's just, you know, saying, oh, everybody else did it doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
No. In this day and age, it's not the done thing.
Hey, we have a call.
Excellent.
I think it's Lenoa.
Area code 314. You're on the air or on the internet or something.
Don't we still have Sean Connery in the air?
No, he hung up. I guess he got disgusted with us. Area code 314. Hello, caller. Hello.
Once you finish juggling your headset,
we're trying to speak to you.
Hey, how are you?
We're fine. How are you?
Doing good. Hold on just a second.
Oh, okay. Take your time.
We're waiting on you.
Yeah. It's okay. We don't have anything else
I'll
to do.
Just amuse myself.
No, just, you know.
Pornographic playing cards.
Oh. Who is this?
It's Matt.
Huh?
Matt.
Ichiban Matt, I think.
Matt Allen out of St. Louis.
Oh!
Ah, I know that, dude!
How you doing?
Hi, Matthew. Right.
Oh, man. I played with those dudes, man.
Is Dave there?
Oh, Santa Claus is not a musician.
So Matt probably knows something about the Secret Service and their proclivity to hookers.
Yeah. You know, wait, why do you
know? I bet he knows how the word's pronounced, too.
Oh, God.
First of all, there was an earlier question asked that I thought should be addressed. And that's actually mercenaries that look cooler in the sunglasses.
All right.
I just thought that should be addressed.
Okay.
I'm actually, Bree had said that Mike was more of the mindset that this was a kind of a leadership problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm actually kind of more with him on that. Having worked with guys out of Secret Service, I trained in a lot of ex-Secret Service guys in my youth. And even
because you're so old now.
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, part of it I think is a leadership problem, but I think it's also a generational problem too. There's going to have those guys. I mean, there was one guy told me years ago that it's always been ebb and flow. Like, and actually, the drug addicts were kind of the bigger problem in the Secret Service back in the 70s, because coke was such a drug of choice amongst the agents. Because it was an upper.
Yep.
Yep.
It's also an appetite suppressant.
Right, exactly. And, but you know, and with the hookers on this one, sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once. I shouldn't move. I think it reflects on his administration to a degree because I think there's just a. He doesn't care and they don't care as far as about how he. Yeah, I'm not going to go into him because that's kind of outside the point of the conversation. It is such a good, and the organization itself is a Secret Service. These guys are truly, they've been lambasted over the media the last few days. And I was listening to some idiot on NPR last week, and he was talking about, well, they don't go through ethics training. And he goes, they don't even really have to qualify with their firearms and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, clearly knew nothing about it. You know, there's strict codes of conduct about this. And I think every one of these agents who is involved in this, probably run out of the way. And they will be. In the private sector, they will be, at least for the next few years, they won't even get a good job. Not with any kind of decent job that most of the ex-Secret Service guys get when they come out. You know, a lot of these guys take it with stuff like Microsoft Corporate Security. I know when I left and it has the Bush corporate security. There's a Secret Service agent, the SAC in charge for St. Louis, who took over, who replaced my old boss when I was there. And the position that those guys hold, anytime you do executive protection, I'm talking actual executive protection, not in my world, there's bodyguarding and there's executive protection. And there's such a dignity that goes along with that position that you need to hold safe and dear to you. Not because of the man that you're protecting, but because of what you display about yourself. And, you know, it's a damn tragedy what they've done, in my opinion.
Well, so you're saying it didn't happen in other administrations, or
No, it did. I'm not going to begin to say it did. I mean,
they just kept it quiet better, or
they paid the hookers.
Yeah, they paid the hookers. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you what. I knew a guy who had come out of Bush Senior, and he had also worked all through Reagan, off and on. And most of these agents, you have to understand, especially on the protection details, I'm talking the, like, these guys were advanced detail, which is, those guys going ahead, like everyone knows now, but the guys who are actually on the inner circle of presidential detail haven't got a 2-2.5 year burnout rate. And so they have figured this out over time that, you know, you guys can't stay here. And, but for years, some of you guys stay on for years and years and years. So the guy that I knew, who had worked under Bush Senior, had talked about working under Reagan. And he said, how it flowed from Reagan, he was agents were completely different in the fact that Reagan is notorious for, one time when the air conditioning went out in the Oval Office, and it was like August in D.C., and he showed up in a suit and every day. And he said that flowed downhill from everybody, and there was just this staunch discipline throughout the troops. And the wheels up parties, you know, now they're saying, like, oh, it's no big deal. Honestly, it's a big deal in the sense of you have guys who did it all throughout the course of the service. There's no doubt about it. But it wasn't this mass sweeping problem like I think you've seen in the last 10 years. I'm sure it happened under Bush. I'm not going to say it's a conservative liberal problem. It's not all around. So that's the part where I say I think it's part of it's a generation problem. But
it's okay.
Enjoy your Pringles.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought that if this sort of thing did happen under Bush and, you know, previous presidents, I would have thought that we would have heard about it by now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
because of the media is so in the tank for Obama. You would think they'd be like, well, yeah, this happened under Bush too. Look. You know, it's not Obama's problem. Of course not.
And they're,
you know,
doing so much dumpster diving.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, again, this is the media that broadcast, you know, Bush, the turkey that Bush served to the troops was plastic. It was just a photo op. That was front page news for days.
Right.
If there had been Secret Service agents cavorting with hookers, we'd have heard about it.
Well, I don't know.
Yes. Well, and I'll tell you why you would have heard about it. They would have chased Bush down hardcore on this because he was an evangelical Christian.
Right.
They would have eaten it up had the opportunity existed.
Excellent point.
Same as if Bush had cheated. If Bush had ever cheated on Laura, it would have been...
Nobody cheats on a librarian.
That's right. They don't dare. Especially one who's killed a
man. That's right.
Right?
That's right. Walking dead in the street. But, you know, but by the same token, what's interesting is that under Clinton, I knew guys who were in protective services. There was all sorts of rumors going around during the Clinton administration, I'll say that. Including the one, and I think it's somewhat... Yeah, well, there was the well-known, and I will say I had on some decent authority, I won't say great authority, of Hillary having an affair with one of the Secret Service agents, female Secret Service agents.
Yeah,
I've heard that one.
And
too.
That's been...
Isn't she having an affair with Wiener's wife?
Heard that one, too.
Say that again?
Anthony
with
Wiener.
Rep Wiener, his wife. She's like Latino?
No, and she's Arab.
Yeah.
Huma Abedin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pakistan. And like smoking hot, too.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. And also, you know, like pregnant. So.
Yeah. Hillary's baby.
I think it's Hillary's.
Hillary's baby.
Call me crazy.
Oh, boy. I could do that with a strap on. Anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait. Is this a reputable program?
No.
Yeah. Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
You're not going to lose any security clearance over this.
Well, they took all my years ago anyways for other reasons.
It had to do with those Panamanian hookers.
Well, you're actually half right.
El Salvadorian?
I'll just say there's pissed off Panamanians out there. I will say that. I wonder if they were hookers.
Now he's going to go back through his files. Shit.
Yeah. I burned all those.
Oh, thank God.
I have a strict policy of burning every 3 years, no matter what.
Don't have a shredder. I have a flamethrower.
Well, going back to Huggergate, though. With the Secret Service, like when I've worked in all levels of private security, there's always been and this is not a dig on cops, and there's going to be a cop out there like, oh, that's bullshit. I hate freaking working with the cops on protection details. You get these guys on third, you know, who come in, you come into their town, you pick them up on extra cash, like Super Bowl is horribly bad a few years back, and you have problems with them getting blowjobs in the back of the clubs and stuff like that when they're supposed to be working. So, I mean, there should be a standard of expectation. There should be an expected standard for these guys, for these Secret Service agents who are involved in this. And I don't care. And so I've heard in the rumor mills, like, well, these guys were on the advanced detail. It's not so much they get a free pass, but that's kind of why they weren't on the protection circuit. And some of it could be true, but you represent the office of the President of the United States. And I'm not talking about Obama. I'm not talking about – but it is the dignity that goes along with that job. And you get tempted in the field. You do. It happens. And sometimes on purpose. Plants are put out there in front of you because they want to elicit information, both private and in the public sector. I know Alan said, or somebody said earlier about, you know, maybe they were Russian hookers, you know. And no doubt that there's a good opportunity for a honeypot. You know, absolutely. And it's happened in the past, you know. And that's, you know, it does compromise them in the fact that from the secret aspect, if they are, you know, sorry, looking at two things here and I shouldn't be. Anyways.
I think Matt's on a stakeout.
just let the ether dry before you light it.
Or he's got his tactical baby with him. I don't know, either one.
I do not have a tactical baby with me. That I do not have. Not currently.
It's a tactical burrito, actually.
She's got the eyes, though, I'll tell you. No, I think the whole thing kind of breaks my heart in that sense of seeing this happening, and that they ought to be ridden out on a rail. I hope none of them get a job. The military guys all cut some slack, to be honest with you, as opposed to the Secret Service guys. Everybody expects it out of the Marines. I mean,
well, yeah.
Marines actually issued? They're issued a hooker, aren't they?
You know,
right? They are.
I never got one, so I don't know. Of course, I know.
Well, that's because you didn't need them, Alan.
Wait.
That's right.
I'm trying to figure out if that's good or bad.
it's supposed to be good.
I don't know.
Well, I meant it in a positive way, but having met Jay, I don't know.
I'm an enigma wrapped in a puzzle.
Jay, you were not a disappointment. You were precisely as much as I expected you to be.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, I didn't sleep with him.
I exceed expectations there. And don't you lie, because you were crying on the side of the road in Charlotte.
Tears of joy, Jay. Tears of joy.
No, I should have left out.
Whoa. Oh, sorry.
The hell?
Oh, that was awesome.
Bang my mic stand.
Oh, I wish I'd turned up my subwoofer.
I thought we were all rolling around on a bass drum there for a minute.
Alan does dubstep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alan does dubstep.
Well, thanks for calling in, Matt.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Bye.
Have a good night, Matt.
Good talking to you again.
Do tactical babies have rails on them?
Yes, they do.
Yes. Labor and delivery has said to be something of a problem.
That really sucks.
Ouch. Yeah.
Well, they get the rail covers on when they're born, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
You're not asking. I don't know.
You got to wait to the breast before you can uncover them.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're through with Hooker Gate, right?
Okay,
we're done with that. Yeah.
Excellent.
Hookers are bad. Don't bang them.
I wanted to take a moment to talk about our header contest.
I think it's done now.
Yeah, it's pretty much over. We had two awesome entries that we could actually use.
Yes.
They are both on the page. They're set up for a random thing. Since there's only two, they'll kind of alternate back and forth, but it's still random, so you might get, you know, one a couple of times, you know, 50-50 probability. One is by Gudis, who was in, I don't think he wants his real name published, but he did the awesome one with the redacted Squirrel Report paper. And the other one was from one of our Facebook friends, Ying, out of New York, who listens mm-hmm. to the show.
Yes.
And is awesome in so many ways. But she did this, the cute little typing squirrel. And the squirrel report spelled out in nuts.
I love it. It's so, very cute.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really cute.
Go to sqrpt.com and take a look.
Yeah,
it's very clever.
Yep.
They're both very clever.
They are.
Yeah, and on Facebook, I keep on... when I'm bored at work, I do searches for pictures of squirrels, and I put it on the Facebook page. Weird, you're still not on Facebook. What's wrong with you?
Well, I don't do that.
Okay. Well, we miss you there. We miss you.
I still live in Blogland.
All right.
So,
well, yeah, you know,
at least
I
he's off LiveJournal.
I had to pull you out of LiveJournal. Now you're on the Blogland.
You had to make him stop cutting himself.
We will eventually get you to participate in the social media.
So we need
who
to.
Who said I stopped cutting myself? I'm trimming my cuticles with a K bar right now.
Excellent.
We need to come up with a decent prize of questionable nature.
I will come up with something.
Gudis and Ying for their mm-hmm. awesome headers.
Well, I already have a prize of mine for Ying. So
okay.
That's because Ying and I are good friends on Facebook, and she's cool.
And I can't give Gudis.
I like her very much, but I'm not sure about Gudis. So I don't know. It might.
I'll give it to him when I get back from Maine.
Ooh. Ooh.
Okay. No rat nuts. I don't think that's appropriate.
Anyway. Okay.
Anyway.
So go ahead.
Part of this whole, like, Brita being the boss and telling okay. everybody what to do on the show.
Oh, I like it.
Topics, do you like it? I'm snapping the whip. Do you like it?
No. Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
No,
anyway,
yeah.
So...
Brita is the official producer for the Squirrel Report.
No, not producer.
Oh, no, you're the nerd herder. That's it.
Nerd herder.
Nerd
right.
herder.
Right. So my idea was to, like, have a show that is actually kind of like a show with topics and time frame and, you know, kind of a format. So next up, we are looking forward to talking to Linoj from Walls of the City. He's going to be our featured blogger of the week. And, Alan, if you'd like to talk about who, wait, weird. I think it was you who suggested
weird.
His blog post.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about that blog post?
Yeah. Because he'll
be calling in very shortly. So go ahead.
The first one I saw was the, over at, Every Day, No Days Off. And he had, I think it was a promotional thing from, for TNT where was it Belgium? It's been a little while since I've seen the video.
I think it was Belgium. Yeah,
they took a small town in Belgium, and they obviously set up some cameras, and they put a little podium in the middle of the town square that with a sign that says, push this for drama. And they just mm-hmm. waited. And eventually people came by and would look at it for a little bit and kind of shy away. And finally somebody hit it, and it started this whole big production that, you know, first started out comical and then got crazier and crazier and more intense and more intense. And what Linoge was mostly talking about was that a lot of the people were just standing around and watching this, and it included, like, gunfights and explosions and violence and all sorts of crazy stuff. And they were just sitting there essentially watching it, popping their popcorn. And never, you know, some of it could be accomplished with editing, and he, you know, he admits to that. But you don't see a whole lot of people, you know, running for cover, deciding that, you know, maybe this is just a stage production, maybe this is something more, and maybe this is safe, maybe this isn't safe. And
I think it's just because they all knew it was a setup.
Yeah, I mean, there's cameras all there. But again, I thought you could further tie it in and bring the realism is that I think we've all been in instances where shit went ugly. And
oh, yeah, and people just didn't do anything.
People freeze up.
Well,
Not necessarily true. I think in a situation where things were to shit, and my friends left me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, nice. I think a lot of that is the fashion now is to tell people to call 911. Don't do anything yourself. Let the experts do it.
Right.
Don't be self-sufficient. Don't defend yourself.
We discourage self-help.
Yeah. Don't do anything yourself. Don't help anyone. Just stand, you know, don't touch anybody. Don't do anything. Let the experts do it. And so that's what people do. They're like, eh, I'm going to get involved.
Yeah.
Because
for years, for decades, we've been told don't get involved. They don't want us getting involved. They want us dependent on the authorities and the only ones and the special people. Because the more we do it on our own, the less we need them and the less relevant they are.
Well, yeah. Can't have that. So,
you know, and on top of that, you've got the litigious society where, you know, if someone was to have a heart attack in my place of work, I've let my CPR card lapse by several years, but it's really not that difficult technique. I could give it a good go and maybe save them, but maybe if me not being properly certified and all that, and I cracked a few ribs, I could probably get sued for it.
Don't most states have a
Good Samaritan law?
Probably not, unless
you're actually in healthcare, in which case then you're actually compelled to help, to render assistance. If you're like an EMT or a doctor or nurse, and you see a situation like that, you are supposed to render assistance.
Yeah, but isn't that more of an ethical thing instead of a legal thing?
No, it's like you can get in shit.
Oh, really?
I have no idea how they would ever pin it down, but, you know, if you happen to be in a location and something happened.
The classic thing, you know, like you're in a restaurant and somebody goes, oh my God, is there a doctor? And you just kind of sat there and kept eating and like, no.
And paid with your credit card so they knew you were there at the time.
Yeah.
It's one of those. It's like having an 11-round magazine in Massachusetts. Theoretically, it's illegal, but the odds of getting prosecuted are pretty slim.
Unless they wanted to.
Right. Exactly. Unless they had it in for you. Unless. Fortunately, yeah. I don't have any. But.
Well, yeah, that's not uncommon. Anyway, there was another. There was another great post that he did. That I kind of tacked onto this because it was the one with the people that came over and beat the crap out of that guy.
What?
The
anarchists?
Yeah. Where they were basically the whole point is that anytime there's a whole group of people, groups of people are dangerous.
Yeah.
Groups of people are always dangerous.
Yes.
Because the mob has a mind of its own and is, you know, is stupid and violent and dangerous. And anytime, you know, you're in a mob of people, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Person is smart. People are dumb, panicky idiots. Throw out another
another Men in Black quote.
Yeah. Sorry.
What was it? You take the IQ of the mob is the IQ of the smartest person there divided by the number of people there or something like that.
Yeah, it's like golden retrievers.
Yeah.
The more you get, they share that one IQ point. It's just, you know.
But yeah, you could get.
And I would argue that it's the dumbest person there. The IQ gets spread around.
Yeah, you get a bunch of people, you know, getting a little bit rowdy, and then one person throws a rock. Suddenly, a whole bunch more people are going to do it because you've got that level of anonymity.
Yeah, it's like the internet. You know, you're in the mob. Nobody knows exactly who's throwing the rocks, so it's easy to have the false bravado. Because it won't get back to me. I won't be held responsible.
Exactly.
Because it's a mob.
And on top of that, there's just the whole peer pressure. There's the whole plurality thing of the, you know, if all of your friends did jump off a bridge, you would.
Is Linoge on now?
I'd rifle through their wallets while they're
Hello.
Swimming.
Hi, Linoge.
How's it going?
Are we pronouncing that right?
As far as I can tell.
Okay, good enough.
I've been pronouncing.
Is that a Linoge. Hard G or a soft G? Linoge.
It's French, so it's soft.
Linoge. Okay.
Linoge.
What does that mean?
It's French, so it's surrendered.
Does it have a meaning, or because I didn't take French, I don't know.
It's actually not really French. Stephen King wrote a storyline a long time ago called Storm of the Century, and if you rearrange the letters, it spells Legion.
Oh, okay.
Ah. It's one of those. They're anagrams.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
So anyway,
I can't believe I remember that word. Anyway.
Weird suggested your first post there about the drama thing, and we thought it was really good because we've all had those situations where, you know, something happened and, you know, nobody did anything.
Well, as one of the commenters at Endo actually pointed out, there's a term for it called the bystander effect.
Right,
and I'm sure
exactly.
Everyone's familiar with the perfect example of this, of the Kenny Genovese case.
Right.
Kitty,
sorry. The girl was basically raped and murdered in front of 30-some-odd eyewitnesses who did nothing.
Well, that's not entirely true.
I was just going to say.
It's kind of like urban legend,
it's fake, nonetheless.
But it was true.
Yeah.
It was true that she inspired Rorschach to become a superhero.
Oh, shit.
True.
Quoted for truth, goddammit.
Okay.
But yes, you are correct. People in sort of a stressful, kind of surprising situation, people do the deer in headlights. They don't know what to do. They don't want to get involved. They stand back and say, oh, maybe I shouldn't, you know, maybe somebody else will do something.
Somebody else.
Yeah, we've been trained not to get involved.
Right. Right. You know, I don't know. I hate talking about the library so much, but I am in a public situation all the time at work. I deal with the public. I work in a public library, so I get to see a lot of public behavior.
You get to see humanity at its best, don't you, Brita?
Well, sometimes, when I'm lucky, yes.
And at their best, he means masturbating.
Oh, God. Sometimes that, too.
Painting the wall in the bathroom.
Yeah. But I have two examples. The first one was my manager at the reference desk. She has some sort of condition where sometimes she'll pass out once in a while. You know, like, surprise, I'm passing out. I'll be on the floor for a while. And this happened one morning. She was at the public area of the computers, and she was turning on the computers. And she passed out, and she was laying on the floor on her back, like spread eagle, just on the floor. And patrons stepped over her. They stepped over her without asking her if there was anything wrong, without calling 911. They stepped over her. Because no one apparently wanted to get involved. Either that or I don't, you know, frankly, I don't know what they were thinking.
I'll actually add on to this. I was actually, when I was
I was probably like a early teenager or something like that. I was playing tennis with a friend at a public tennis court, and for reasons that are still elude me, somebody was in a neighboring field and was sunbathing in their full clothing. And I spotted this person and I said, "Is that a dead guy? Is that, you know,
right,
somebody who died or passed out?" Because it wasn't like they had laid out a blanket. There was no clear signs that this person was sunbathing.
Right.
They were just there, laying there, face down on the grass in the middle of a field with nothing else around it. And it was one of those things of, we just sat there looking, going, "Yeah, they're not moving.
Right.
What's going on? What do we do?"
Right.
And we didn't want to be wrong. We didn't want to go over and find out that this person was perfectly fine and just sunbathing, and we were bugging them.
Right.
And I was just about, I'd finally come up with my idea of the best way to be unobtrusive was to hit a wild ball over there and get over closer to get a better look. And yeah, the person got up and walked away.
So you were right. They were sunbathing.
They were just sunbathing. Well, I mean, but my initial thought was, it didn't look anything like. I don't know why that person was doing that, and maybe they were having some troubles and just came to and got on with their life. I don't know. But the bottom line is, we didn't want to get involved. Mm-hmm. We both were just, you know, terrified of being wrong, terrified of being judged, terrified of...
Yeah, sure.
Oh, and there's just enough urban legends about, you know, people getting robbed or worse in situations like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic. Robbery trap where, you know, you lay somebody out on the road looking like they've hurt or had an accident or something, and, you know, somebody stops to render assistance, and then, you know, people...
Three guys jump out from behind a bush. Yeah.
You know? Trunk monkey.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of I'm going to give you my second example, and this directly involves me at the library. We had had a problem with this old geezer who was like starting fights with other old geezers in the back of the library.
Kids, get off of my yard!
I swear to God, yeah. It's like
King of the Steel Cage.
Like a sitcom back there.
Two men enter, one man leave.
Rita, was your biggest problem fighting over who got to videotape it?
No.
I want to post it on Facebook. No, fuck you. I'm posting it.
I should have thought of that. But we had this old geezer who would start fights with another old geezer about the newspaper.
Next time, let him do a full round before you ring the bell on him.
Well, and it was becoming a problem. He was, I don't know if he was off his meds or he was just like, you know, generally being a problem with other people. And, all the other librarians were talking about it. And I was like, ready. You know, I was like, oh, I hope today's the day where he starts another fight.
Did you have your monkey nut?
Did not have my monkey nut. Well, no, I did, but no. But so, you know, I was ready for it. And I was like ready. Every morning I went in, I was like, okay, today might be the day he comes in and starts a fight about the newspaper. And then suddenly one day I got lucky. And he's back in the back of the library and we hear all this shouting. And there's two guys, like they're like nose to nose, kind of like, you know, doing the whole like, you know, pounding on the chest, monkey
squaring off.
Thing,
God,
squaring off, you know, and they're like old geezers.
Somebody stepped in between us.
Newspaper, you know, and all the, everyone in the library are stopped. And because the voices were raised and there was, you know, and I'm thinking, yes, today's the day, you know, I was excited. And everybody else is like looking at each other like, what the fuck do we do? Do we call the police? Do we do? And I just marched back there and I was like, oh no. No, no, no. I was like, you get out. And I like marched the old geezer out of the library.
Yay!
Like, you know, not. But everybody else in the entire library had no idea what they should do.
Well, that's because they wanted to see two old guys beat the shit out of each other.
No, I just think that everybody was like, oh, you know, that, oh, God, deer in headlights, what do we do kind of thing. And I was totally ready.
I think that, though, is really valid. What Weird was saying, everybody's afraid of being wrong.
Right. I don't care.
You don't want to call the cops.
Well, the thing is I can kind of understand that from the point of view of the patrons in the library, because it's, you know, it's not their business, you know, really what other people are doing in the library. But
none of the other librarians.
The people that staff the library, you would at least expect them to have, you know, super library powers and go, you know, at least shush them.
Well, they are disarmed by state fiat.
Well,
it's true, but they're still librarians. Come on.
That's true. That's true.
They have that librarian superpower.
But back to Linoge's post that we were talking about, and I believe he's still on the line, yes?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
Yay. You know, Linoge, I've wanted to talk to you for a long time because I love your blog. You are fearless.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons I love your blog so much. You just say it like it is, and you don't care, and you're fearless. You will take anybody on. I love it.
Yeah, Weird and I are so.
Yeah, you guys are
shy and timid.
You know, shy and timid.
I'm afraid.
I'm just that intimidating, huh? Yeah.
But no, it's awesome. You're one of those blogs that, you know.
Well, he also does that whole, you know, fact thing.
Yeah,
that thing, that rocks.
Damn those facts.
Yeah, I know. So damn inconvenient.
But,
it's like the key.
Yeah, back to the original post. Do you think it mattered that the video was staged? Do you think it mattered to those people?
I honestly don't know. I mean, the way TNT presented it, they were advertising it as this was just a surprise event in the middle of the square that no one else knew about. Uh-huh. And, I mean, it wouldn't be beyond TNT to lie about that, but I have a hard time believing they'd be able to control the crowd well enough to keep only the people in the know in the area.
Well, one thing I mean, didn't see was police presence and barricades and all that kind of stuff. It's just people standing around.
But even if you just look at the one person pushing the button, I mean, they're reactions looked more or less realistic, and I mean, sure, they could have borrowed actors, and I could be buying into the overall gestalt, but I mean, they did the whole exactly what you expect of look around and see what everyone else is doing and then do nothing, even when gunshots were being fired right next to them. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, but it's completely normal. I mean,
I know.
That's what people do.
Yep. Look at the video footage from the North Hollywood shootout. When that first started, people are like, duh?
Yeah, they're just standing around. They're just standing around looking.
I hear gunfire. Yeah. Duh. And then windows started blowing out. People are like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
And there's two lunatics in body armor with friggin' illegal machine guns spraying gunfire everywhere. It is nothing short of a miracle that they were the only two killed.
Yep.
Yeah.
But It is a situation like y'all were talking about. We've been trained to place our own social standing, basically, over our personal survival, which doesn't seem to be a very good evolutionary adaptation.
Right. No, that's completely correct. And I think another thing is that people, we don't think about violence in a real sense anymore.
No, not at all.
You know, it's not like, it's like a thing that's on TV.
Yeah,
we're
too insulated from it.
Right.
To be fair, we don't have to
fight animals to live anymore.
Right. Or each other.
Well, and thank God for that. You know.
At two recent violent attacks, you've got that whole Norway thing where the lunatic just shot up that camp all to hell. But meanwhile, we've got Tucson where the people pounced on him. As soon as he was not firing for very long before those people were all over him like stink on shit.
Oh, there are always exceptions.
I think as a general rule, I think Americans after September 11th, I think Americans have kind of realized that on September 11th, the good guys didn't come and save the day. It didn't happen. As soon as those planes got taken over, that was that. And you know, no matter what you want to say about the flight that went down in Pennsylvania, either way, that's not a best case outcome.
No, and I mean, all the terrorists caught on planes have been by the passengers, not by the TSA. There are people who can take control of the situation immediately, and their OODA loop is a point like Han Solo. But I think they are the exception, unfortunately. And I think we're reaching a situation where they're not always going to be there.
Mm-hmm. And well, we're still far too fucking civilized because they're always, these guys are coming off the plane intact.
We have always been in a situation where, you know, that's going to happen because, you know, the whole point of all this is to train people to not react.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, that's the whole point. That's, I mean, that's the whole, you know, if you go back and look at the original, you know, the Pelian police thing, the whole thing was the police, you know, were supposed to,
they were supplemental, basically.
Exactly. The citizens were, the police were supposed to do no more than the citizens were doing, except they were paid to do it all the time.
Yeah. And the citizens could render assistance, and the police would render assistance to the citizens if they were already in pursuit.
We've gotten away from that.
Well, I was actually reading Joyce Lee Malcolm's on guns and violence. She actually stated, I believe it was in medieval times in England, you could actually be punished for not attempting to stop a crime or a criminal, essentially not rendering aid to your village and to the crown. You know, when things came up, it was essentially everybody was, there was the constabulary, but also everyone was expected to act as constabulary, whether they were or they weren't, if they were there at the time of something happening.
There was a case in my memory, weird, where the cops actually arrested somebody because he just kind of stood there and watched as they chased, and I'm going on, you know, just memory, but the guy just stood there. He didn't, like, block the guy's route or anything, and they arrested him for interfering, or more precisely, non-interfering. And so it's not even going back to medieval times. It's, you know, they can get you either way.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Which plays into the it's better to do nothing.
And especially when the people you're trying to help are almost as likely to sue you these days as to thank you. I mean,
That brings up another point, because one of the things, everybody's concealed carry laws are different, but in Texas you have to go to a class and all this kind of stuff. And every class I've ever been in, one of the things they point out is, you know, just because you have a concealed carry license doesn't mean you're supposed to go out and get involved in things.
You're not a cop.
It's for self-defense, not, you know, if you just come across two guys slugging it out with each other, you don't, you know, pull out your gun and start blasting because you don't know what's going on. You don't know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, or maybe neither one. You know, maybe it's just two guys out, you know, having fun, you know.
I mean, maybe it's some drunk guy in the library.
Yeah, I mean, when you have situations like that and you don't know what's going on, you know, yeesh, you know.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, better to, you know, take an early exit and, you know, go away. So anyway, the other post I thought was, and the reason I added the other post was because it's kind of the other side of the coin. You know, it's a crowd of people that actually do something and do something really bad, like beat the shit out of you. And we were mentioning it before we added you on those. You know, mobs are bad. I don't care. Yes. You know, I don't care if they're, you know, celebrating a football game victory or you know, trying to torch your house. You know, a group of people is dangerous.
Well, I mean, and that one, it's interesting to look at the throwaway lines in the article, too, because it specifically mentions briefly that the people in the shop simply hid under the tables. Well, that's great and all, but if those anarchists or whatever the hell they were actually successful in getting through the windows, and the fact that they weren't is really freaking sad. But if they did get through the window, it's not like the table was going to do anything.
Well, yeah.
Was it weird? Was it you who posted the Vancouver hockey fan?
Yeah. Yeah, I found that video.
Well, you know, the hiding behind the table, I really think so many people watch too much TV.
Yes.
Seriously, I think a lot of people's idea of violence and about reality is based on what they see on television.
Of course it is. It's the only experience they have.
And in movies.
Most people haven't experienced violence in real life.
And nor do they actually, like, contemplate it in any sort of meaningful way.
Nope.
You know. you know, you hear people, oh, you carry a gun. Are you going to shoot the bad guy in the leg?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Why didn't he shoot the gun out of his hand?
Or my favorite, you're carrying a gun. Are you expecting trouble? Well, no.
No.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
No, my favorite on that is, do you want to be a cop? Do you think you're a cop?
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, do you have a fire extinguisher in your house? Yeah. Do you think you're a firefighter?
Yep.
Do you have a first aid kit? Do you think you're an EMT?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yep. Hey, we got a call. Let's see.
Excellent.
Area code 971. Hello, area code 971. You're on the whatever this is.
Squirrel report.
The air?
The vicious squirrel.
Hello? Hello.
Lost him.
You're on the colloidal semi-solid.
Hello, caller.
Chef's knife.
Going once. Make your
gift. Hang up.
Going twice.
Hang up.
One ringy dingy.
Oh, well.
Two ringy dingy.
You're so lenient. I would have hung up ages ago.
Yeah, they'll call back if they.
All right.
She would have traced the call, gone to the guy's house, and kicked him in the nuts.
I don't want to say on the air because there's no air. I mean,
there is air.
We're going to go with that. We're going to go with on the air because we have
there's satellites involved.
Actually, my they're calling back.
We shamed them.
Well, somebody's calling. Hang on. Okay, area code 971 again. Hello. You're on the air again. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Hang up. Don't take it again.
Okay. We got another one here. This one's 817. Let's try this one. Hello, area code 817.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Squirrel Report.
Hey, who is this?
Hey, this is Riley again.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Riley.
How's it going? How are y'all tonight?
It's Friday.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, it is.
I hear you. There you go. Well, kind of halfway going along with the topic of, you know, as far as, you know, mobs or people not doing anything or, and I saw in the chat someone said, you know, just nobody kind of stands up, you know, for themselves. And if they do, that they're considered, you know, a strong arm or a thug or a bitch or something along those lines.
Exactly.
And I've actually taken, and Britta, you'll appreciate this, we've got a young intern from a local university here and a new girl at work. And new girl used to be really pretty liberal, and both of them now love shooting.
Excellent. And who was responsible for that?
Me and the other guy in the department. Both of us were kind of the move from heavy, let's say heavy manufacturing, pharmaceutical manufacturing, to business type thing, all in the same company. So but,
pharmaceutical manufacturing.
Well, back up, Riley. You can manufacture pharmaceuticals.
So you're making.
Stop it, Jay.
That's my part time. No, never mind.
That's in a bathtub in the upstairs bathroom.
Easily acquirable meth into Sudafed.
That's right. Be careful of the open flame.
He makes NyQuil.
Without getting specific, it's a rather large eye company that's up in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. So.
Oh.
But anyway, you know, both of them, like I said, what was funny, her mom recently had some sort of a slip and fall, screwed something up with an artificial knee, got rushed in for, you know, kind of semi-emergency surgery because it was pinching up a bunch of veins and stuff in her legs. And I didn't realize just how big a deal it was because she's sitting there talking to some of her brothers and stuff that she hasn't seen in a while. And once again, they're all up there, emergency surgery for mom. And the big topic was that, well, wait a minute. You went shooting? You're thinking about getting your concealed carry? What the? You're not the girl we grew up with. You were the one that used to badmouth us all the time because we like to shoot, we'd hunt stuff, and you were saying how we were all, you know, just violent and on and on and on. And when she came home from Houston, of all the things, because when we took her shooting, we took 22s, 380s, 38s. I don't remember if the other guy had a 9. I didn't. He had his, it's a CZ. It's like 7.62 by 25 or something like that. I'm not positive on the caliber.
CZ-52.
That's the one, yeah.
It's a giant fireball, right?
It is. Oh, man, it's so awesome.
CZ-52 if you want to be hipster about it, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I had my 45, and then I had my little Ruger LCP 380 revolver, or a 38 revolver, the LCP 380, and then just for yucks, for me and Jeff to shoot, I bought the 500 Magnum, and
yuck.
Just because they're all like, wow, that's loud, that's big. I'm like, nah, I'll show you loud and big in a minute. I brought my 45 long Colt revolver, and that was actually the gun that she liked shooting the best. I mean, we weren't shooting tremendous distances, you know, 15 yards or something like that, but I mean, she was shooting pie plate sized groups out of that long Colt revolver.
So in other words, she's better shot than New York cops?
That's not saying much, but yeah.
Damning with faint praise, Alan.
There's not too many cop cars.
What was it, 86 shots and 14 hits or something like that?
Well, I mean, most of the cop cars I've seen have 40 caliber holes either in the roof or the floor.
Don't! So you're just saying that it means that if she fell out of a boat, she could hit water.
Yeah.
There you go. When she was talking to her grandpa and stuff down there, when she went to see her mom for surgery and everything, she was telling him about that she really liked this revolver and mine, on and on and on. And she's like, I brought one back. I said, what'd you bring back? She said, same thing you brought back. I was like, what was that? She was 44 something. It's a Ruger Blackhawk. I'm like, oh my God, you brought back a 44 mag Super Blackhawk. And sure enough, that's what she brought back. And, we loaded her up with some 44 specials, but I mean, she absolutely, totally now, you know, loves shooting, looking into getting her concealed carry permit. And the other bonus of that, her husband's from England and he wants to get his.
Nice.
Cool.
She's not going to get the Blackhawk.
And then, through bugging my neighbors, I've got both my neighbors wanting to, they're talking about shotguns, home defense, and what to carry and stuff like that. So, you know, as much as we see the negative in society of nobody doing anything, I can at least throw out and say there's a few people around me that are, you know, they're trying.
Well, all it takes is everybody to do one or two.
Well, that's the interesting thing is that, you know, we've got more and more states allowing concealed carry and more people getting their concealed carry license, and more gun companies are coming out with concealable firearms. There's more people carrying.
Yep.
There's a lot more people carrying.
For all the negative that President Obama has done for us, he's done a hell of a thing for the gun industry.
Salesman of the year.
You really can't say that, though, without acknowledging Bill Clinton. Because I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that because Clinton got it started. Because before 94, I mean, yeah, there was the import ban thanks to George Sr. And before that, the Hughes Amendment. Yeah, but they weren't as widespread as, hey, every semi-automatic rifle now has to come with a 10-round magazine. Huh? What?
Yeah.
Huh?
If it's that really landed in the wheelhouse of America. It has no other purpose.
I think it really, you know, I mean, saying that, you know, okay, no more new machine guns. Well, not a lot of people gave a rat's ass about machine guns. Then, okay, you can't import these certain foreign rifles. Well, okay. But then it was, that... You know, 15-round Glock magazine, you can't buy that anymore. Fuck you, I can't. What do you mean? I think a lot more people started to wake up and say, wait a minute.
Okay, we got another caller here. I think MDev is calling back again. We're going to try it one more time.
That'll work.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks for calling, Riley.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to try this one more time. Hello, 971.
Hello, Squirrel Report.
All right. There you are.
Oh, third time's the charm, huh?
I guess it is. And this is MDev, right?
This is MDev from Tactical Tupperware.
Okay.
Michael from Tactical.
Oh, he gets in a plug. I'm proud. You go.
Hey, should I plug Stuck in Massachusetts? Or it's not that anymore.
Nope,
shoot.
Nope.
No.
It's marooned.
It's marooned. I don't know. It's all in my RSS feed. I don't know anybody's domain anymore.
The dash is silent. You like that, huh? I just came up with that. Just like right with Michelle the Beast.
Fair enough.
So anyway, what's up, MDev?
Well, when I called in the first two times, you were still talking about groups and mob mentality.
Yeah, we're still talking about that.
And I was just, the only point I kind of wanted to add is I think people are really afraid to act in a group situation because of the lawyers and because of maybe even the Zimmerman case to some extent of, you know, you can think you're doing the morally right thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's not going to sue you and try and take your house.
Well,
or call for you to be murdered on national TV.
I think in a lot of cases it's not even that. I mean, they've done experiments on bystander effect where, you know, they'll put like a whole bunch of people in the room and then they'll like start pumping smoke into the room and
oh, yeah.
There's a few people that are like in on it, right? And they're just sitting there, la di da da da, and you know people start getting nervous and they start looking around and they see people just kind of sitting there, so they sit there and don't say anything, and you know it's just. Yeah. You know, it's like it's a herd thing. You know, it's you know, people.
You don't want to be wrong.
People don't want to be the first one to break the herd.
I would even bring up, you know, in I mean, the kind of opposite end is, you know, we all pick on the military because at Fort Hood, you know, soldiers weren't allowed to have personal weapons and things like that. But every guy on that base has hand-to-hand combat training, and nobody jumped on them.
That's not necessarily true.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Am I mistaken on that? If I am, then no offense. I just
former naval officer, I received no hand-to-hand training whatsoever.
Yeah, the hand-to-hand. Even in the Marine Corps, hand-to-hand training is.
Wow.
Yikes.
That was not me.
Anyway.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Formal hand-to-hand training in the military is, you know, unless you go into some special service, it's usually rudimentary at best.
I thought the Marines knew, like, 50 ways to kill someone with their bare hands.
Nope.
You're telling me this
my apologies.
Just a thumb.
My apologies. That was my ignorance.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, the military is subject to political correctness just like everywhere else. I mean, when you're on the base in the U.S., you're disarmed, you know, unless you're, you know.
Yeah. Or letting the jihadi doctor continue to be in the military.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
The guy that shot up the Afghani civilians, well, they had him hauled back to courtside and in a cell within, what, days?
Yeah.
They've got him tried, convicted, and breaking rocks in Leavenworth, which, by the way, is good.
Yeah.
And he was a war criminal, blah, 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 whereas Major Hassan, well, that's post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
Well, that was workplace violence, remember.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's another case, precisely.
Okay. Well, my apologies for being ignorant. I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. You know, I mean, it's just like the whole, you know, everybody carries a gun in Texas. You know, you assume that the military is, you know, actually, you know, the unfashionable secret is the vast majority of people in the military don't do anything but sit at, you know, computers and file papers.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much. I forgot the exact proportion, but it's, you know, isn't it like 14-1 support to combat? You know,
it's over 10-1. Yeah.
Yeah, it's some number like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so the guys on the pointy end are supported by, you know, a bunch of, you know, rear echelon people in uniform.
Yeah. I mean, hell, you're by a big long shaft.
You're better off than most of the people who are trying to tell us that the whole Fort Hood shooting is a demonstration that everyone being armed doesn't stop a shooting, because a lot of American citizens think that everyone on base is armed, which is a hell of a misconception.
Yeah,
military.
Okay, well, that was my input. I'll open up the line for somebody.
No, you're fine. Thanks for calling.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that is a common misconception, and actually, military bases are like the biggest gun free zones there are.
That disgusts me so much.
you can't even if you have a gun in most bases, you can't even keep it with you. You have to go stick it in the armory.
And of course, the irony is, once every 6 days, I was carrying a partially loaded M9 on the quarterdeck of my ship, and yet they wouldn't let me bring my own personal firearm on.
Well, of course,
how many rounds were you allowed to have into it?
15, but not one in the chamber due to a new CO.
Oh, Israeli carry.
At least you had a full magazine.
Yes.
I was told by 45 Superman that back when he was in the Army, he was often put on guard duty, and he was issued like 5 rounds or some some unbelievable, and I think they were spread out amongst a couple of mags.
I can tell you exactly what I had when I in the Marine Corps when I was in the 80s. When we had guard duty, we had our rifle, and whoever was on duty, basically you traded off, right? When you showed up to relieve the guy, he had a little ammo pouch that was, you know, sealed with a wire twist and a little stampy thing. Mm-hmm. And he handed that to you, and you carried it around till you got relief. And yep. That was, you better not break that seal.
Yep.
And was it loose ammo in the pouch?
No, it was 10-round stripper clips.
And God forbid you come back with 9 on one of those.
Yeah.
So if something went down, you'd need to break the seal.
Load the magazine.
And then you'd need to strip the rounds into the magazine.
Yes.
And then put the magazine into the gun and chamber around, and then you could rock and roll.
Yes.
We weren't that bad. That sucks.
That's one step removed from Barney Fife carrying the 138 in his coat pocket.
Yeah, Breeder just reminded me. I want to repeat the call-in number is 214-530-0036 if you want to call in. That's 214-530-0036.
You're forgetting one other thing too. Alan also had to get the ramrod out and
tamp
the powder down.
Yeah, you had to pee down the barrel to clear it out. It was just it was horrible.
But to circle back around again, one of the interesting, I suppose, positive byproducts of the increasing news coverage of, I guess, mobs, for lack of a better word, is that it is providing us wonderful ammunition for fighting restricted magazine laws. I mean, 25 people with metal pipes show up, a 10-round magazine isn't going to do you a world of good.
Boy, that's the truth.
Sure it is. If it's 45, it'll go right through one guy into another. You got to line them up first.
Well, also a great thing is the cops. You see these cops all the time that are, like this recent one in New York where they shot like 84 times and hit the guy
14.
None of them enough
and,
to kill him.
And didn't drop him, Nope. So clearly high-capacity magazines are a requirement,
At least if you abide by the spray-and-pray methodology.
Right.
That's worse than spray-and-pray. I mean, that's just,
you got to wonder when they're shooting all these rounds all over the place.
Where do they go?
Yeah, what are they hitting?
They're very, very calculated with their low and left.
You might as well hand the gun to a chimp.
Yeah. And we got another caller. I think it's Bonnie again. Hello, caller.
Hi, it is.
All right. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Yeah, I actually thought when we were talking about the bystander effect and, Kitty Genovese and all that stuff and how people, feel like they don't need to do something or they can't do anything or they just don't want to get involved. I actually had a story that involved a child, and which it really irritated me because you think it's a kid. Who doesn't want to help a kid? This is like a 2-year-old. And I used to work at a preschool / daycare, and they would have runaround time where they'd be, running around in the gym and working off all their extra energy before nap time and whatnot. And there was a new girl, and she had a list of allergies and medical conditions that nobody had bothered to look at. It was just put in her file, and people were like, well, if anything happens, your parents will call, and, or we'll deal with it when it comes up, but we're not going to study it in detail. Well, she was running around the gym, and she collapsed, and she started wheezing. And the other teachers just kind of looked at her like, okay, small child wheezing, don't know what to do with this. And I walked over to her, and I said, are you okay? And she was like, 2. And she just shook her head at me. And I'm like, can you breathe? And she started coughing, and I said, okay, all right, you're getting air in because you can cough. You need to calm down. I'm going to call your parents. So I let her out and everything. And people were coming up to me afterwards like, you can get sued for interfering like that, right? I'm like, if she couldn't breathe, I think I'm a lot happier with, a child being alive and me possibly getting in trouble for it than just, letting her lay there and possibly suffocate because she has exercise-induced asthma, which nobody bothered to look up before allowing her to run around in a gym with her coat on. And, I mean, these are people that were put in charge of children. This was their job. This is what they were supposed to do. And yet they all just sat there because they didn't want to become involved. And I just wanted to share that story because it kind of disgusts me, and it shouldn't surprise me anymore, but at the same time, I'm just shocked at the lengths that some people will go to just not get involved for whatever reason.
You know, were you aware of her condition before?
I'm sorry?
Were you aware of her condition before this happened?
No, I wasn't. They didn't share it with. I was one of her teachers, and they didn't share the file with us. We knew that she got a special lunch, but we had a bunch of different ethnicities and religions and creeds and stuff. So certain kids got certain meals based on what they were and weren't allowed to eat for that reason. Because right. In Collierville, Tennessee, which is suburban, and a lot of families are moving from different areas to work at FedEx because the hub is there. At World Heritage headquarters and everything. And so we had a very diverse population. And this girl, she's got Nordic heritage and something, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I've noticed that children of Nordic heritage don't tolerate heat very mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. And she collapsed, and nobody did anything about it. And I was just thinking to myself, okay, when you're afraid to help a 2-year-old child who's choking on her own uvula because you didn't bother to look at her file or share whatever information you knew, I mean, that's just bad. And after a while, she'd calmed down, and she was still kind of coughing a little bit. And another one of the teachers was like, you know, right. She's just getting your attention now, right? I'm like, no, that's a rattly cough. That's not a throat cough. That's a chest cough. She's not faking it. This is not for attention. I've got it. I'm calling her parents. You go, do whatever it is you're doing. That obviously isn't your job.
Right. And I've noticed that there is a tendency for people to not want to take responsibility. They will pass off responsibility for everything. They will think that someone else will take care of it. Someone else higher up than them will take responsibility for whatever's happening. You said before earlier in the chat, I saw you use the word sheeple. And really, that is the case. There is this tendency for people to back off and not want to be the one in charge.
Sure.
And not want to be the one who is responsible for making a decision. To be a leader is to make a choice and then accept the responsibility for that choice. And people don't want to do that.
Exactly. And, that whole thing with the, obviously it happened a year ago, but I write Squeaky Will Seeks Grease or whatever. I use mm-hmm. my real name on here because it's just easier to log in on Facebook. Oh, my right. God, my identity's out.
But, oh, no.
Oh, no. So not like anybody, doesn't know this is me anymore. But I was officially, I guess, indoctrinated by the trolls at Mike B. and Jade Gold's blog. And one of the issues there was, they were questioning, because I had medical conditions that I shouldn't be able to carry. And I made it a point, I did a rebuttal on my blog. I didn't link to them because, fuck them, they don't need my traffic as little as I get. And one of my points was, it's a right, but it's also a responsibility. And if I don't feel that if I don't feel that I can handle the responsibility of mm-hmm. using that weapon, accepting the consequences of that use, if something goes wrong, if I am not physically, health-wise able to accept those responsibilities and those consequences, I don't carry. And that's been my loss since I was diagnosed, because I will occasionally have a seizure. And luckily they usually happen at home, because that's when I
they happen when I get really upset, and I usually don't let myself get upset until I get home. So, bam, seizure, you know, no sharp objects around Bonnie for a while just because I get uncoordinated. And right. I'm not willing to put other people's lives at risk, you know, just because I'm not feeling well. But at the same time, if somebody else isn't feeling well or somebody else is having a problem and I can help, you bet your ass I'm going to do it. Because not only is it humane, like it's the best possible thing you can do. If there's no risk involved to you that you know of at that moment, I mean, your priority should be to look out for others. You should take on that mentality and that responsibility the second you decide to get a concealed carry permit or first aid training or anything of that nature. You should be prepared. And
you should, but it takes a certain type of person to do that, to be able to accept responsibility for taking action, you know.
I mean, I'm loud and I get in people's faces all the time, so I guess I just have that personality, but it's happened more than once, and it's happened in my family. It's happened, like, I posted on Facebook, oh, if anybody needs to call me for any reason, I'd rather you call me than not have anybody to talk to, that sort of thing. I converse semi-regularly with about 5 or 6 people who had nobody else to talk to, and they called me. And I'm like, on one hand, it's like, well, okay, now I'm a therapist and I'm not getting paid. But on the other hand, I'm happy to take on that responsibility because I would rather, you know, have that responsibility and help that person if they need help than find out later that they hurt themselves or something, you know, really bad happened because they didn't feel like they had anywhere they could turn.
Right.
And I try to apply that same principle when I see something happening. And obviously there's some cases where I can't intervene, but if I can, I'm going to do it. And I wish more people would think that way. I really do. And even some gun owners that I know, they're very responsible gun owners. They're, you know, they know the laws. They know their shit, basically. But they're afraid to act because the act of having a weapon on them in some jurisdictions, in some areas, like especially in Memphis, if I, you know, stopped a mugging without even drawing my gun, well, I would automatically be put under extreme scrutiny for having a gun in the first place. And that's just the way it works around here. And so I think a lot of people, they're afraid that they can be made culpable for some part of whatever circumstance happens. And I mean, it's unfortunate. It just sucks. And I hate that it works that way because I hate to sound like a damn hippie, but the world would be a much better place if people would actually help each other.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? Yeah, maybe.
Like,
well, it depends on the person. Like, I don't want everybody's help, really.
Yeah.
You know,
please don't help me.
If help is like reduced to the lowest common denominator of help, no thank you.
Yeah. Stop helping. Please stop helping.
Please help. Please stop helping me. You know, one of those. But yeah, you're right. But it also, it does take a certain type of person. You see, you always see the people. People in the military are trained for this, to run towards problem, and to, you know, take responsibility for that sort of action. Most people don't do that. They think about themselves and they run away from trouble. And they're not willing to accept that sort of, not just the power, but also the responsibility that goes with it.
Well, and frankly, a lot of times that's the right decision.
Exactly. I think so. Yeah. You know, I don't want
if I'm in the mall and I hear shots, I'm not going to go see what's going on.
Right.
I'm gonna find an exit and get the hell out.
I'm exiting stage.
Oh yeah, no. In those circumstances, hell yeah. I mean, you do have to watch out for your own safety, and there's no sense like charging into a gunfight just because you have a gun. That's a Darwin Award waiting to happen. But you know, you guys are talking about like the person who drowned in shallow water and nobody noticed
right.
for 2 days, and people watched and all the stuff, and it's like, well. You know,
well, a lot of that one that happened in England, that was even worse because that was not just bystanders. That was the rescue people
right.
that stood around and
going 3 feet of water.
Don't forget, though, this is England, where the cops won't go into a dangerous situation where there might be a gun.
That's right.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, the cops do that here, too. You
that's
know?
True. What, was it New York where the woman was getting stabbed to death and the cops just sat outside saying,
standing outside her door, listening to her scream.
You know, think about all the.
But yet, get a tip that they've got an ounce of marijuana. They'll kick the door in and shoot the dog.
Yeah, look at who.
That's what she should have done. She should have said, "I've got a baggie of pot here."
Look who they do the no knock.
God, I hope the cops aren't outside because I've got all this cocaine lying around.
If they know there's an armed person in there, they're not going to do a no knock raid.
Yeah, that was the interesting thing. Yeah, you hear about all these no-knock raids where they kick down the door and shoot the dog or shoot the homeowner and do all this stuff. Yet the moment you hear about the guy that they know he's got guns, they know that he's killed rival gang members.
Right.
They know he's a meat-eating son of a bitch. They call him up and say he won a free flat screen TV.
Yeah,
you congratulations. Yeah. I love that, too, that it always works.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Bonnie. We're going to wrap things up here.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Bye. Bye. We're almost at 2 hours now.
Yep. I think we're about done. Thanks, Linoge, for our for joining us to talk about your
and posts. Writing such an awesome blog post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
all those awesome blog posts.
We are big fans of your blog.
Appreciate that.
So.
Glad except for Weird Beard.
Join us.
Except for him, yeah. I only own his hosting, so I mean, I can unplug him anytime.
I hate his blog and I hate his hosting service.
Yeah.
Hey, Linoge. Linoge, I wanted to ask you real quick. How are your kittens doing?
They are less friendly with each other than they are with us. How about that?
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh. Funny, that's how my children are.
That is interesting.
And do
your cats have any interesting headwear?
They will soon.
I can't.
Did you put a cone of shame on your cat?
I cannot wait for that post.
Oh, no.
Well, there's going to be some additional props involved, and it will be remarkably suitable.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Oh, headgear for cats?
Yes.
Oh, Lordy.
You can give a headgear.
All right. Well,
and the human will have matching headgear as well.
Oh, my gosh. Even better.
Oh, no.
Wait.
All right. Well,
okay. Everyone will have to tune to Linoge's blog to find out.
Yes. Thanks for...
And that's www.wallsofthecity.net.
Thank you for pimping my site, Jay.
You're very welcome. That's what I do.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, I'm too stupid.
Well, we've got... we're about out of time anyway, so we'll see.
You're going to say it real quick. He's Alan at SnarkyBites.com. That is Brita, formerly at BritaFowler.com. And Beard.
No.
Actually, Brita's thinking about blogging again.
She has to. Sweet daughter.
That's right. She got
the turtle in it.
Emotional.
She's going to get blackmailed.
She got the emotional blackmail.
Blackmailed by a 6-year
addiction. You'll get over it.
That little girl's got some powerful amount of cute.
She's a very special 6-year-old.
Right, and her mother's an Amazon.
Ah, that's your source.
And her mother's Amazon. I don't want to cross her. So,
and weapons grade cute. Yeah.
Yes, totally. I don't know who can fight with her with a 6-year old with her own pink 22. So
with the cricket, that is so awesome. That is it leaks awesome, like the Secret Service leaks hookers.
Oh God,
jeez.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Duh. Hello.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with another exciting episode of
Woohoo!
The Squirrel.
Tune in. Same bat time. Same squirrel time. Same squirrel channel.
We'll have another fascinating topic and another featured blog post, assuming some blogger somewhere writes something interesting, which I'm sure will happen because, you know, bloggers are awesome that way.
Shake that internet tree.
That's right. Come on. We need topics.
You got to pull on those intertubes.
Anyway, thanks for listening again, and thank you, Weird and Jay and Brita, for our first full boat show here.
That was great. Thanks for showing up, guys.
Yeah, really.
Woo-hoo!
I'm sorry I had a life.
Don't do it again.
It's gone. Don't worry.
All righty then.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right. Night.
Get her done.